It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair.
The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. God is going to show greater works than these, Jesus said, and the reason that you may marvel. Matthew tells us that in one place he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He upbraided the cities where most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Miracles is not a cure for doubt. Each time I speak on the subject of miracles, I always get some pushback from some of those who would tell us that miracles no longer happen in the world in which we're living today. But that's not scriptural. That's anti-God, anti-Jesus. Jesus told his listeners, "He that believeth greater works than I do, shall he do." When Jesus said those words, many people around the world want us to believe that Jesus was telling us a lie. Then they ask us to tell them just one thing which is greater than what Jesus did. Well, if I was the one who determined greatness in this world, I may be able to do so. But we do know that God is the one who determines what is great and what is not, what is right and what is wrong. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. God can see greatness in things that we cannot. You remember when Jesus saw what the woman put into the collection plate? It wasn't much, but it was all she had. And Jesus told his disciples, "This woman has put in more than all the others. The others gave out of their plenty, but this woman gave out of her poverty." The message I take from this is that God considers that from which you give and not what you give. I go back to the question, why does miracles happen to some people and not to others? Why is Sister Jones miraculously healed of cancer and my nephew died of the same disease? How can we take the idea of miracles seriously if it seems that they are so random? Is God merely capricious? The God of the Bible is a God who claims to love us, who knows us more intimately than we know ourselves. If we're talking about the God of the Bible, we must talk of a God who himself suffered and who died for us and who would do it again and again. If we're talking about the God of the Bible, we must talk about a God who has been wooing us as a lover woos his beloved, chasing after her, doing all he can to win her heart. That's what God does. Who God is and what he is like has everything to do with the subject of miracles. If God is who the Bible says he is, what should we make of him healing someone and letting someone else die? Common sense suggests that any God who would heal one person and let another die in an awful death doesn't seem to be a God anyone would want to worship. So, when we think about miracles, it forces us to think about the nature of God behind those miracles. Miracles attest to the presence of a loving and compassionate God, one who wants to help us, who wants to speak to us and encourage us. But as soon as we think of when miracles do not happen, we think the opposite is true, that God is indifferent, unloving, and doesn't care if we are crushed and discouraged. It is at this point that most people shrug their shoulders and walk away. It is tempting to do so. If God is so complicated and confusing, it's hard to take an interest in him. To walk away at this juncture is to be on the verge of what we seek, within the reach of the breathtaking summit. We must learn to trust his wisdom. We must respect His sovereignty.
I'm going to end this lesson right here, but tomorrow I'll be back with some more. The more I speak on the subject of miracles, the more it seems that the Holy Spirit keeps bringing things to me as though it was on the wings of the morning. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.